The stars are right, and that means it's time for another episode of The Whisperer in Darkness. I'm your host, The Man from Lang. Thank you very much for joining me today. On this episode, we are continuing with our review of the Seeker cards in the revised core set for new players. This is part two of a three-part series. The first two parts are looking at the level zero cards, while part three will take a look at the upgrades. There are spoilers through, if you care about that sort of thing. If you enjoy what you hear, remember to like, comment, and subscribe. A quick reminder of how we rate cards here on The Whisperer in Darkness. The best of the best get an Elder Sign, while the worst of the worst receive an auto fail, and the cards in between get a +1, +0, or Elder Thing respectively. Cards that work well in one particular investigator or cards that you build around get a Bless token. Before I get started, I'd like to thank the patrons of this channel for their tremendous support. The Arkham Horror LCG community is amazing, and these people have gone above and beyond to bring you content like these reviews. If you'd like to support the channel's goals and see your name on this list, head over to patreon.com, sign up for a tier of your choice, and claim your rewards. That would be awesome. Without further ado, let's get started. We are back with part two of our review of the Seeker cards in the revised core set. We're kicking things off with a tome. This is Medical Texts, a two-cost asset with a combat skill icon, item, and tome trait. As an action, you may choose an investigator at your location and test two intellect. If you succeed, heal one damage from that investigator. If you fail, deal one damage to that investigator, and Medical Texts takes up a hand slot. I find it interesting that FFG decided that to refresh the art on Medical Texts with art that is pretty much the same as the old art for a card that I have never played and have no intention of playing.
I will say Medical Texts created one of the perhaps funniest stories of this game I've ever had. So, quick side point is I demoed this game at Necronomicon and back in 2019. And I had a group of players that wanted to do nothing more than grief each other. And the Roland player decided that he would spend his entire turn using Medical Texts on Daisy. And he would try to purposefully fail every single test. And the Daisy would be like, can I commit perception to that? He's like, no. So apart from that, I don't think this card's very good.
It's not. It's just like first aid. It's kind of awful. That being said, I understand why it's in the core set. Just having a way to heal some damage, for the Seeker is probably kind of important. So I understand why it's there. It doesn't need to be any good, but I understand why it's there. I wouldn't run this at all. Like, I'd find any other way. Use your off class. Use another investigator. Just don't take the damage in the first place. Use hyper awareness to evade the enemies that are dealing you damage. Just something else.
It's amazing that they could actually make a card worse than first aid, since they tacked a skill test on top of it, which, while Daisy with her 5 to 6 intellect, depending on what she's got on the table, should be able to pass that pretty easily. As people are very well aware, you do have to reach your hand in the chaos bag. So failure is always an option. And if you're Daisy and you're damaged enough that you need to play Medical Texts, you probably, failure is really not an option at that point, because you may end up killing yourself if you're having to heal using this thing in the first place. So this one gets an auto fail from me.
I agree. Auto fail all the way. That being said, the fact that it's not as, like, on paper, not as strong as first aid, that's not the worst thing in the world. Not every class needs to be equally good at everything, and this is just Seeker's subpar healing method.
Yeah, it's really not much to say. It's pretty bad. I give it an auto fail too.
The next card in the box is Mind Over Matter. This is an event that costs 1 resource, combat and agility skill icons, has the insight trait. It is fast. You may play only during your turn. Until the end of the round, you may use your intellect in place of your combat and agility. For me, I recently was playing a deck that I had the option of including this, and I decided not to, and then ended up immediately regretting it, because Seekers tend to have very low combat and agility scores, so being able to replace that for your entire turn, so if you need to make multiple skill tests, you've got this, you've got a 5 or a 6, depending on what you've got on the table, for 3 tests, that's pretty fantastic. It's fast, so you don't take attacks of opportunity. Excellent card.
Yeah, it solves, it's like the perfect silver bullet for solving the Seeker problem, which is enemy management. And it's a real, I think this is one of the better designed cards within the context of the core set, because it's very niche in what it does, but it does it very effectively.
Very effectively, albeit only for Daisy, because with Roland, you're replacing his 4 combat with his 3 intellect. Similarly, you'd be replacing his 2 agility with his 3 his 3 intellect. It definitely leans towards, if you have a Seeker like Daisy, who's pretty lopsided, and her intellect is significantly higher than both of her physical stats, then I think this card shines. Yeah, I think I tend to play a little more like generalist investigators, like Jenny and Lola, you know, 3-3-3-3 across the board. So I don't use this as much. I try to, in the times I do play Seeker, I try to play one where, you know, like Ursula or Joe Diamond, where they do have a physical stat. Then in those cases, working a hunch doesn't really help me out because I'm already leaning on a physical stat as part of like the core of the deck. But, you know, that's just me. But if you're playing someone like Daisy, yeah, mine never matter. It gets the job done.
I think it's worth noting that this also, one of the weaknesses of this card is that it is, you may only play it during your turn. So it's, if you do happen to draw a card that requires a combat or agility skill test during the Mythos phase, you are out of luck. There are quite a few agility skill tests as your card pool grows that happen during the Mythos phase. Combat skill tests are still fairly rare, but some of those can be also pretty nasty. Generally, you're going to be using this either to, say, kill a swarm of rats or possibly an enemy that has 2 or 3 health if you need to make a couple of skill tests on your turn to take care of them. Breaking down locked doors is another option, or possibly there are combat and agility skill tests that appear on agenda and act cards from time to time where this can come in very handy if you need to pass one of those. Is this worth an Elder Sign in the core set, or is it a +1?
In Daisy, it's a +1 because it's not good in Roland. Like Mandastrophic was saying, his intellect is lower than his combat and it's only 1 point higher than his agility, so like you're not really getting much out of that one resource in a card in Roland. And in Daisy, it's good, but if you're in multiplayer, you know, hopefully you have Roland managing the enemies for the most part for you, but it is a nice escape button to have in your deck. I think I'd give it a 0. It fills, like I was saying earlier, it fills that role really well, and when you need it, you have it.
I see Nate, maybe I tricked you using a Jedi mind trick and you ended up coming around to a 0. Maybe that's what happened there. Because I'd give it a 0 because it is a fine card. It works in certain investigators and not others, and it does a certain thing pretty well. That being said, your deck, you might already be packing other ways to manage enemies or other ways to evade or other ways to do the thing that mind over matter does. But if you don't, and you're playing someone like Daisy and you're very hyper-focused on intellect, then mind over matter has got you covered.
I think this is where my bias as a predominantly solo player comes in, because I don't think I could possibly build a solo Seeker deck without this card. It comes in handy so often. But yeah, I think if you're playing multiplayer in the core set, +1 is probably where this one stands. If you're teamed up with somebody like Roland, he should be able to fight and break down locked doors for you. Or even if you teamed up with Skids, he can basically do the same thing with agility to handle those sorts of issues for you and keep the enemies at bay. I think as the card pool expands, agility becomes a lot more prevalent in the game. And so having some option to deal with it for a turn is very helpful. The next card is Working a Hunch, 2 cost event with 2 intellect skill icons, insight trait. Fast, play only during your turn, discover 1 clue at your location.
This card is so good. This is an easy staple Elder Sign for me. Oh man, not only is this card good within the core set, but it only gets better. Being able to get free clues is so strong. And it has 2 intellect icons, which, you know, if anyone's listened to these reviews, knows that I love cards with 2 matching icons. It costs 2 resources, which is a fair rate for this card. Man, so good.
Personally, I love this card very, very much in Roland. In fact, the art in the revised core, it very smartly has Roland on it and not Daisy, because I think this is kind of Roland's best friend. Some of you may remember that when we were talking in the Roland review, I mentioned an angle for playing Roland where you load up on combat and on cards that give you clues without taking a test, and this is how you do it. This way, that kind of Roland doesn't have to rely on Magnifying Glass or Dr. Milan at all. He can focus on combat, yet devote like 6 or 8 card slots to being able to get clues without having to pass those tests. This is for when there are enemies not around, and working a hunch is the way to go.
Yeah, this card is good in the revised core and only gets better as your card pool expands. Discovering a clue without having to make a skill test is extremely powerful, and if you have any interest at all in exploring higher levels of difficulty, if you've been playing on easier standard and you want to make that jump up to harder expert, working a hunch is an automatic include simply because the ability to discover clues without reaching your hand into that bag and potentially pulling a -6 or -8 is huge. The two intellect skill icons are fantastic in either Roland or Daisy in this case, just in case you need to pitch this to a test in an emergency. The insight trait does become more relevant as your card pool grows, in particular Joe Diamond from the Circle Undone expansion. His Hunch deck is based all around insight events, so you can stick this in his hunch deck and play it as necessary. And something that becomes much more relevant as you play other scenarios is that there are many encounter cards that have very negative effects, or many locations, I should say, that have very negative effects on them if you fail skill tests. So the ability to either grab a clue at a high shroud location, or grab a clue at a location where you are somewhat reluctant to investigate because the price for failing that investigate check is very high. Working a hunch is your friend. Now, I have found that it's sometimes a little pricey at 2 resources, but more often than not, this can pretty much seal a game for you toward the end of a scenario.
A thing to note about this card is that clues scale by player. So in solo, this card often just grabs you all the clues on a single location. So before you even take your first action, you can discover a clue and be on your merry way. And like we've said time and time again, Arkham is a race at the end of the day, and this card just facilitates you going Mach 3 in that race.
That being said, in my experience, I've found that working a hunch's usefulness starts to trail off when you get to 3 and 4 player because of the sheer volume of clues that a primary investigator will need to find. When working a hunch will give you one clue out of 20 that say that you're going to need over the course of the game, or 24, like it's less of a clutch play in that case because you'll get one of the say 4 clues, but you still have 3 more you have to find. So it doesn't clear the location for you as quickly as it does in a 1 or 2 player. So I do think its usefulness starts to trail off at 3 and 4 players, but it's still very strong.
How would you rate this one? Nate's already given it an elder sign, so.
I actually would call it a +1 because yes, it is very strong. Yes, it is great in solo. Absolutely include that. I do think as you build a Seeker deck, you may end up upgrading out of this as you get XP, especially if you're in 3 or 4 player.
Yeah, as someone who plays predominantly solo, I'm going to give this one an elder sign. It's won me a lot of games over the years, and continues to be a cornerstone of a lot of decks in investigators that can take it, especially in a guardian like Roland. Guardians have received a lot of cards of late that allow them to discover clues without taking act or yeah, without making skill tests. And so between this and something like Scene of the Crime, you can discover an awful lot of clues without having to make skill tests. But I do agree with you, Matastrophic, that as your player count begins to increase into that 3 and 4 player range, then this card's value begins to drop quite significantly, because like you said, if there are 8 clues at a location, grabbing one is just not going to cut it, even if that location has a, say, a bad effect on it, that if you fail an investigate text, just grabbing the one clue isn't going to solve that problem. So in those situations, you might want to either look at cutting it to begin with and simply playing a different card, or upgrading this particular card into something that's going to grab you multiple clues much more efficiently. The next card in the box is Barricade. This is a zero-cost event with a willpower, intellect, and agility skill icon. It has the insight and tactic trait. Attached to your location, non-elite enemies cannot move into attached location. As a forced effect, when an investigator leaves attached location, discard a Barricade. What do you guys think about this one? Matastrophic, you had some thoughts about Barricade before we started this review.
What's weird is I could talk for hours about Barricade. No, not really. Figurative hours, not actual hours. Like, so the thing about Barricade is that it's very narrow in how it works. One key thing that may not be clear when you first read it is that it does not prevent enemies from spawning on the location with the Barricade, in which case Barricade does nothing if you draw an enemy. It's also only useful against non-elite hunters. And not only that, but non-elite hunters that you decided to evade and then leave behind, and then you're in a situation where it's coming for you, and you have to spend time at your current location to prevent, and it's worth preventing the hunter from jumping on you guys. It's very narrow. I do feel like one thing players, you will probably learn about Arkham Horror, is you'll start learning about how dangerous enemies actually are. And for just about all of the game's life, they just aren't tough enough, at least non-elite hunters, they just aren't tough enough to warrant Barricade. I feel like Barricade is designed for enemies that don't really exist.
Yeah, and in lower player counts, especially in solo, Barricade is sort of antithetical to the natural play pattern that you'll sort of find yourself in of investigating a location, moving and investigating the next location. Like, you're often going to one location and then never going back to it unless a scenario dictates that you backtrack to it. So Barricade is awkward in those circumstances. And in multiplayer, like we've been saying with some of these other seeker combat solutions, is that you're probably going to have someone in your party that's pretty handily dealing with those types of enemies that Matastrophic was laying out. So yeah, Barricade is awkward. And it, for such a niche card, it doesn't even have two icons.
And if you're playing somebody like Roland, who actively wants to be killing enemies, right? It's this, the idea of preventing Roland from doing what Roland does best is not particularly helpful.
Yeah, because keep in mind, on top of the narrowness of Barricade, Barricade gets discarded if any investigator leaves the location. So you're basically, by playing Barricade, you're asking everyone to stop what they're doing and stay still and spend a bunch of actions at your location, you know, at least a turn or two to hold off a, you know, an enemy that's a hunter, a very specific hunter enemy that's coming for you. So I guarantee you what's going to happen if you're playing multiplayer at all is at least one of the investigators are going to go, I have nothing left to do here, I need to leave. And then the Barricade goes away.
Yeah, and there aren't that many non-elite hunters in the revised core set. There's Hunting Night Gaunt, I can think of. I believe Screeching Byaki is another, but you just don't encounter enough of them to really warrant bothering with this card in the revised core, at least. Now, it can be helpful in the first scenario. There are circumstances where you would like to prevent enemies from moving, so this can be useful in that situation, but again, very conditional. You need to draw it at the right time, put it in the right place. It might be useful in the third scenario because, again, you sort of end up at one location and it might be helpful to prevent enemies from coming in. But again, like Matastrophic said, it does not prevent non-elite enemies from spawning on you. So if everybody sort of gangs up in one location, you're going to be drawing four encounter cards in a turn. Chances are somebody's going to draw an enemy and it's going to spawn in that location, and you're not really protecting yourself. How would you rate this card?
I want to give this an auto fail, but part of me also wants to give it an elder thing to be nice to it. But I've honestly never played this card, so I have to give it an auto fail.
I have seen it played in like very, very, very specific situations, but no, it's an auto fail.
I'm going to give this one an elder thing. I have actually played this and it has helped me win one particular scenario. So that's, I guess it gets a mercy auto elder thing from me for helping me beat one particular scenario where preventing enemies from getting at me was made a big deal. It is worth noting that once your card pool expands, specifically if you pick up the A Path to Carcosa expansion, there is one investigator, Minte Fan, who has an entire deck built around Barricade. There is a level 3 upgrade for Barricade in the Return to the Knight of the Zealot box that, when combined with Min, facilitates a certain play style that that can work. So while
Level three
the
barricade, not level zero.
yeah it's the level you need the level 3
Yeah.
barricade to make that work though. So you will probably start off with level 0 barricade in that min deck and then upgrade as quickly as you can to the level 3 version. But I was surprised that barricade did actually help me in certain situations, so I'm willing to throw it an elder thing just for
Yeah.
that reason.
I'd actually been working on a Trish deck that uses Barricade in tandem with things like Quick on or Think on Your Feet, where when an enemy would spawn on the location, you shove it to a connecting location instead. But that's pretty niche, and that was more just to see if I could even get it off the ground. And I do think there's a possibility there, but like we've been saying, it's really niche, really specific to a particular scenario.
The next card is Deduction. It is the skill in the Seeker card pool. It has a intellect skill icon and the practice trait. If this skill is test is successful while investigating a location, discover one additional clue at this location. Pretty vital if you are playing in multiplayer.
Yeah, this is good. Even in certain locations like Miskatonic University in solo as well, that spawn with two clues. There are the occasional locations that will do that to you, but man, this is a multiplayer staple 100%.
Yeah, remember all the things we were talking about with working a hunch and how strong that was and how you can get a clue without spending an action? Okay, so what if you squint hard enough, what deduction actually says is fast, spend zero, get a clue. It's really good. Yeah, like this is act I think deduction is actually one of the strongest cards in the game. It's kind of like it's kind of as important as Vicious Blow, where you save actions, you deduction helps you win that race that we've been talking about.
Yeah, it's pretty important in pretty much any investigator that wants to do any investigating whatsoever. Even somebody like Daisy, who might have a 5, 6, or 7 intellect, having all that intellect in the world doesn't help you discover clues any faster, and that's what this card does, especially at high shroud locations where the margin for error might be a little more narrow. It doesn't happen all that often, but in multiplayer, just that ability to grab two clues is huge. There is a level 2 upgrade available for deduction in the Essex County Express Mythos pack. You can either pick it up there or in the Dunwich Legacy Investigator expansion that will be coming out in the new year, and it lets you discover two additional clues, so adding even more benefit. I think that's what, 3 clues if you're successful, which in you don't need that in solo, but in multiplayer, man, that's a huge speed bump. And finally, the practice trait does become relevant if you pick up the Dark Side of the Moon Mythos pack for Practice Makes Perfect specifically, which allows you to not only search your deck for this card and play it, but then take it back to your hand so you can play it again. So you're getting even more value for the cost of the cost of that card. I think this one's a pretty easy elder sign or elder sign. I was about to say elder thing, man, that would have been a huge mistake.
Well, the other sign, it is a thing, so and it's elder, so
Yeah, I mean, without question, this card is has seen play since the days of the corset and continues to see play.
if you're playing a seeker and you're doing investigation, You play deduction. It's an elder sign. This is what the secret is trying to do.
That's going to do it for part two of our review of the secret cards in the revised course. At any final thoughts?
Man, what a roller coaster the last half of the secret level zero cards were. We went from elder sign to autofail. It was all over the place.
That's true, and it does kind of tell you something about at least the seeker as described in the core. It's very narrowly focused, so cards that help that narrow focus are going to be very, very strong, and cards that are very niche and don't help that focus are not going to be so strong.
That's going to do it for this episode. If you enjoyed what you hear, remember to like, comment, and subscribe. If you need to contact me, I can be reached at manfromlang@gmail.com. I'm also on Twitter at manfromlang. Until the stars are right, keep your shotgun close and your elder sign closer. Take care out there, and happy investigating.